Shavu Atov. We have a lot of class tonight. We love our sponsors who help distribute these CDs and tapes without a charge. Anybody like to sponsor 375-1023. 375-1023 in Ir HaKodesh, Brooklyn, New York, area code 718. As for Rico. Okay. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. We've got a long class, a lot to do. We're going to go fast. There's a lot of questions. We all know the story. Yaakov Avinu is on the way back from his uncle, his crooked uncle for many years. He comes back with a lot of property. A lot of property. 12 good boys, one daughter, 4 wives. He just left Mahanaim, the place where the Malachim from Eretz Yisrael joined with the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz. And he sends Malachim in front of him. He sends messengers in front of himself. Rashid tells us Malachim Mamash, real angels, El Eitav Ahir, to Eitav his brother. Arsa Se'ir, to the Edom, to the land of Se'ir, to the field of Edom. Vaitav Otam Lemor, he tells them, go tell my master Eitav, Ko Amar Avdecha Yaakov, so said the servant Yaakov, Im Laban Garti Vayachar Al Ata. And the rest, very popular Pesukim, many that are short. I want to propose 7, 8, or 10 questions. They're not my questions, they're brought down in the books, all the questions. First of all, he says, Malachim Mamash. Rashid tells us he sent real angels. It seems he's on a mission. The mission is a military reconnaissance. He wants to find the strengths and the weaknesses of Esav's camp. There's a war about to happen. So what do? You send flights over to see where the generals are, where the troops are, where the mountains, the valleys, the caves, all. You gotta map it out. So send IDF. What is he sending Malachim? Second, he tells Esav, Aim Lavan Garti by Aharad Atab, one of the most famous Rashi, Dirashot in all of Humash. In Lavan Garti, Vitaryag Mitzvot Shamarti. I lived with Lavan and I kept 613 Mitzvot. No Esav will say to that? So what? Who cares? So what is he telling him that for? Then he tells him, Vayi Shor V'Hamor. The Midrash tells us, not Shor V'Hamor, not only in the Peshat, ox, and donkey, but Shor is Yosef. Bechor Shoro Adar Lo. You know what I have with me? I have Yosef. Not only that, I have Hamor, Yitzchak, Hamor Garim. I have my son Yitzchak with me. Well, he had 12 sons. Why does he mention only those two? And then he says, Vayira Yaakov Me'od Vayetzer Lo. Two questions. First of all, why is he afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, Ushmarticha v'chol asher telech. I'm going to guard you wherever you go. I'm going to protect you. There's no problem from now and forever. That's from the time he left his father's house and he slept and he had the ladder dream. What is he worried about? Secondly, why the double language? Vayira Vayetzer. It gives art scroll a difficult problem. He can't say he feared. They have to come up with two. He feared and he was distressed. Vayetzer, he was distressed. I look it up. I said, it's both language of fear. What's the difference? What is fear? What is distress? Why the double language? Another double language. He says, he starts to pray. You know, he had three strategies. He had prayer. He had military strategy. And he had bribery. In the prayer he says, Hatzileni na Hashem, please save me. Miyad Ahi from my brother. Miyad Esav. How many brothers did he have? One. So either tell me Miyad Esav, I know he's his brother. Or tell me Miyad Ahi, my brother, I know it's Esav. What do I need both for? What number are we up to? Then Yavovi Kani Emal Banim. Maybe he'll come and kill me, Emal Banim. He's not worried about the Av getting killed. Only the Em, only the mother. Not only that, was there one mother or four? Imahot. So why do you use the language Emal Banim? Number eight. All of a sudden, in the middle of the parasha, Vayibate Yaakov Levado. We have the famous wrestling match. Yaakov leaves Fachim Kitanim behind. He goes across Nahar Yabok. Yabok, he goes to get his two little jugs. He runs into a battle. A wrestling match that kicks dust up the Kisei HaKavod. What is this doing over here? You're talking about he's going to meet Esav any minute. Close that door. And he has a story that doesn't fit. Tell me before, tell me after. Why did the Torah make a point to put that here? And now that we're on the subject of the wrestling match, and the Rabbanim tell us, it's not just a man-ish. It's Taro Shel Esav in Shamayim, the 70 nations have 70 princes, each one with its own individual angel. That angel is the prince of that country. You know, when you read tomorrow morning, Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim met al Tzifat Kayam Es Kisav, which would say, Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim. Not, and they saw Egypt dead on the banks of the river. They saw the Egyptians dead on the banks of the Yam Suf. Think of that. How come it says Mitzrayim? Says Rashi in the name of the Midrash. They saw Sarosha Mitzrayim. They saw the angel, that the protector and the guardian of Mitzrayim and Shamayim, dead. That's the fact I am. They knew no more Egypt. The Mitzrayim we know, whether they're Muslimim over there, whether they're transplanted as Yehudim to Arab Akhla, they're not Egyptians of Mitzrayim. The Egyptians of Mitzrayim are an ancient people that no longer exist. Why? Met Asifat Tayyam, they never came back. Even later in the Nabi, when we see Mitzrayim, different people. Once the Tsar is dead, it's over. So we see Saro Shel Esav. He wants to fight that negative power, Samech Mem, the power of Tum'an Ro, wants to fight the Yehudim and destroy them. So why not start with Abraham? You woke up late? Fight with Yitzchak. What is he waiting now for Yaakov? You didn't think of that to me. You didn't think of that. You read this parasha every year. Question number 10. His name was changed to Israel. Why was his name changed to Israel? Then a real question. When you read the Pesukim, right before the confrontation, very strange things happen. He starts to split up the camp. He splits them up. How did he split them up? He lifts up his eyes. He sees Esav coming. And he has the 400 people. The first thing they tell us is he split up the children. Le'ah with her children, Rachel with her children, the Shepahot with their children. But, Vayasim et Shepahot, Yadim Rishonah, he puts the Shepahot first. He puts Le'ah v'yiladei Aharonim. And then after that, Yosef Aharonim. What's he trying to do? Create jealousy? You're protecting yourself more than the others, and Rachel more than the others. As we see later on, it always gets them in trouble. Bad events come when people get jealous. Like Kanu Boehav, Ravi Shamarata Davar, ended up with the sale and Galut. So I get the 10, 12 questions. 10, 12 questions from the parasha. There's many more. But because all of these questions can be understood if we take a certain mahalach in this particular episode, we take a certain direction, we'll see that all these things fall into place. Yaakov Avinu was not really frightened of battle. Because Hashem told him, no physical harm will befall you. And if Hashem promised, you don't need anybody to co-sign. And if you had the emunah and the timimut of Yaakov Avinu, you got no problem believing it either. So if Hashem told him, Ushmaticha l'chol asher telech, there's no problem here. Not only that, physically, somehow from childhood, we picture this strong brute called Esav, and this little weakling of a yeshiva boy, Yaakov. But when all the shepherds come to the well midday to gather and water their sheep, Yaakov Avinu turns to them and says, what are you doing? Why don't you either give them to graze or give them water and take them back to graze? And they said, we have to wait until the other shepherds come, because you can't move the stone that's on top of the well. So Yaakov Avinu himself walks over to the well and takes off the stone. Not only there were 10 shepherds, 20 shepherds, 50 shepherds, but to work of 10, 20, or 50 men, he did by himself. He was keep bored. So the physical, by God, it's the Eben, he physically was a strong person. Yaakov's name here was from Achiv, his brother. He was afraid of the spiritual damage potentially could happen to him and his camp. What's going to happen to the chinuch, the holy chinuch that he, Rachel, Shifachot gave to these children to bring up 12 perfect children. So the fact that he was fearful was not that he feared a physical damage to him and his camp, although there was possibility. His fear was really in regard to Yirat Shamayim. Rashbam. Oh, what a Rashbam. We read the parasha, we read all the Dirashot, about the threats, about the fear. Vayashuvu amalachim el Yaakov lemor. They come back to Yaakov saying, Banu elachicha el Esav. We came to your brother Esav. V'ram olech l'katecha, and he's coming to greet you. V'arbameot ish amo, he has 400 with you. What is he telling him? Watch out! They're coming! There's 400 generals with troops. 400, not 400 people, but 400 generals. And each general had 10,000 soldiers, 4 million. He had many people coming. We're fearful. What does Rashbam say? Banu el achicha, el esav, umatzata hen be'enav. He likes you. Kasher amata, like you said. The Gamin Eumi talks is Sameya b'biyatcha, since he's happy with your arrival, u'bahavatota, and his love for you, Holech l'klatecha, is coming to greet you. The Arbameot Ishimo, why is he bringing the 400 generals with their battalions? L'chvotcha, to honor you. They're making a parade. Broadway. Ticket tape. L'chvod Yaakov Avinu. Guess what he says, Rashbam, Rashi's grandson. Zeh Ikar Pishuto. That's the Pishat of the Pasuk. V'chein Gam Hinehu Yotzeh L'Kratecha. We see another place in Chumash where somebody's coming L'Kratecha to greet you, that same word. V'racha V'samach V'libo. When is that? When Moshe is returning from Midian, Hashem tells him, don't worry about the hurt feelings of Aaron. He's coming likratecha, he's coming to greet you, the same word is here. Diracha, when he sees you, he's going to be ecstatic. Look what Rashbam is comparing. The return of Yaakov to Esav, to the return to Moshe to Aaron, same thing he says. So then your question would be, so why is Yaakov afraid? Vayira Yaakov belibo.
in his heart. Shapapi she'ra'al ha'shiluchim ki lechvodo mitchamen.
Even though Esav showed the messengers that he wants to honor and respect Yaakov, who, Yaakov, lo ha'amin, did not believe she'machashevet Esav etova elevira'ah. He felt that he's sketching. What was his real fear? Spiritual. Spiritual. Even though Esav seems happy to greet me, I'm actually more afraid of that than war. Tell you a story. This happened about 50 or 60 years ago. The law in Tayman, in Yemen, was if there's an orphan, then the government takes custody of the orphan. And it didn't matter who the orphan's parents were. The orphan, if he was single, if she was not married, was required to convert to Islam. Islamic country. Orphan was taking over. No parents. So the Yehudim of the time took care. There was a loophole in the law that if the person was married, then they didn't have to convert. So what they would do, we have two steps to marriage, Erusin and Kiddushin. Erusin is the connection of the man to the woman to the exclusion of everyone else. And the Kiddushin is the consummation, the physical consummation of the marriage. When they get together and start to live together. So what they would do with orphans, even if they were young, they would do Erusin. And then when the government came, they don't know, the rabbi has documents, he's married. There was one boy, slipped through the cracks, he was an orphan, and he was not married. The government came to take him. The boy was brought up, like most of the pure Yehudim in Tehran, to believe in Hashem, and Abraham Avinu, in Yahadut, Moshe Emet, the Torato Emet. The real, they told themselves the real Jew. The pronunciation is different, the look is different, the peot are different. And even though he was tortured, he resisted. He would not convert, he would not do what they said. Eventually he escaped. And he went with a group of Olim to Eretz Israel. He moved to Israel. The new state, the Jews. Brand new then. About 4 or 5 years later, his rabbi from Yemen, from Tehran, also went to Eretz Yisrael. And one day, walking down the street, he said, "Excuse me, are you..." Because he recognized the boy, although he looked very different, there was something about him that he recognized. He had no peot, he had a funny haircut, his friends were... didn't look like the best type of characters to hang out with, the type you wouldn't want your children to be with. And they're walking down the street in Tel Aviv or somewhere. And the boy answered, "Yes, that's my name. How do you know?" He said, "I was your rabbi in Tehran. Don't you remember me?" "Oh, yes, yes, I remember you." He told him, "I don't understand what happened to you. You resisted through torture the attempts of the Muslimim to convert you. And look at you today." He said, "Rabbi, those were my enemies." He turned to his friends and he said, "These are my brothers." When it's your brothers, you drop your guard. Yaakov Avinu was very afraid that Esav would accept him as a brother. And if he did, the influence of Edom would seep into his holy camp. So now we see why we start answering the questions. Malachim Amash, why did he send real angels? He should have sent soldiers, spies, Miragirim Cheresh Lemor, like Yoshua, like Moshe. No, he sent Malachim Amash, real angels, because this was not a military reconnaissance trip. This was a spiritual reconnaissance trip. I need angels to go. I also saw in a Sefer, he couldn't trust the people to go, because anybody who came within the vicinity of Edom would probably get spoiled from being in the neighborhood. So even the great tzaddikim from his camp couldn't afford to go. And when he tells them, Taryag mitzvot shamarti, and I didn't learn from his evil ways, he wanted to tell him, don't bother. You're going to come, you're going to have peace talks, we're going to join together, you're going to try and make it one state, me and you, Edom and Canaan and us, because in the back of your mind you want to spoil me. You know where I was? I was with your idol, the biggest crook in the world, your uncle, Laban. In Laban Garti over 20 years. And he didn't get me. Taryag mitzvot shamati. So you don't have a chance. Give up. And that's why he said, Bayini shor v'hamor. I had a shor and a hamor. By the way, Vayhi is lashon sa'ar. Vahaya is lashon simcha. Vayhi b'mei shifot ha-shofetim. Vayhi ra'a ba'aretz. Vayhi means sa'ar. Trouble. So he says, I have a shor and a hamor. It's only showing him millions and billions of dollars worth of property. Why is he saying, Vayhi lashon sa'ar? He's saying, you know, to be told Torah, I had to do to earn all this, what are you worried about? It's a tzar for me, this wealth. It's not a pleasure. But he says, I have two children that I want you to know about. I have 12 good ones. But I want you to know, I have Yosef. Yosef is the one every day. 17 years until he was sold. I learned Torah with him. Tamid Chacham, like you wouldn't believe. And I have Yisachar, Hamor got him. His brother Zebulun goes to work so he can sit and learn. I have B'nai Torah. And I know one thing. Even living with Laban, the Koach of the Torah was not destroyed. Look what I produced. That's why he pointed out those two children. And why does it say, Vayira Yaakov Vayetzelo? Why does it say he was afraid and he was distressed? Double language. Well, the word Yetzer is an emesy sentence. I know you're the Satan. I know you're the Yetzara. But I pray to Hashem to save me from you. I'm worried about the Yetzer Hara. I want to make sure the Hashpa'ah, the influence on my children, is only good. I'm worried about you. And that's why he prayed, the Ikani Eim Al Banim, you know I'm afraid of? Eim Zutorah. Ad Sha'areti El Bet Emi. Berched Ha'olati is referring to the Bet Midrash. That's why it's one M. Where an M teaches. Em al banim, al tikre banayich, el abonayich tatamidei chachamim. Again, we see that Yaakov's only concern was the spiritual. So why did Hashem put in the Torah the story of Israel fighting with Sarot Shel Esav now? Now we understand. He knew that Chayim to the Yehudi is Torah. It's the ikar of our lives. And believe Torah and Chayim. And therefore, if you look at the Hafez Chayim HaTorah, you'll see this derasha. He says, you want to do chesed? Faddal, all day long. You want to pray and read Tehillim? You want Giburah? You want Avodah like Yitzchak? Faddal, go ahead. The Satan will let a Jew do chesed all day long, because eventually, if he doesn't have Torah, he'll get him. He'll let him pray all day long, because without Torah, eventually, he'll get him. When he comes to attack, he attacks Yaakov. Yaakov stands for Emet and Torah. I got to stop the Torah if I want to stop Am Yisrael. And Yisrael, Sarita and Elohim, Batucha, you were the one who went up in the spiritual battle, and you won. Yisrael is the Nitzachon. You know, when there's a Gemara in Berachot, a few Dima. Kol HaKorei Abraham, Abraham, Oved Ba'aseh.
After Abraham's name was changed, we're no longer allowed to call him Abraham. You must call him Abraham. And if you don't, you're over an aser. Shineimar, Tehayah, Shimcha Abraham. Your name shall be forever and ever Abraham. So the Gemara asked over there, Ela me'ata, if that's true, that because it says your name will be Abraham, I can't call him anything else. Hakorer Yaakov, Yaakov Achiname. It should be like the one who calls Yaakov, Yaakov, after his name was changed to Israel, he should also be over, be violating a positive commandment of the Torah. Answers the Gemara, Shane Hatam. It's different when it comes to Yaakov. Yahadara Hadre Kira. The Pasuk itself comes back and calls him Yaakov, Dichtiv, Vayomer Elokim Yisrael, Yaakov, Yaakov. So since Hashem called him Yaakov, we should be able to. But the Pasuk says, Lo Yikare Shimcha Od Yaakov, Ki Yisrael Shimcha. Not that Yaakov was replaced by Yisrael, but that the Gemara answers, Yisrael is your main name, and Yaakov is a subsidiary name. Why is that? Why a difference? Okay, it's a great Gemara, all fits. You finish the page, Daf Yomi, you turn off your tape and you go to work. But why? Why is that so? Because the Yetzer will fight the power of Torah and learning of Torah. And in the Kelal, in the big group of people called Kelal Yisrael, there's going to be some victories and some defeats. Some people are going to overcome the Satan and learn. And some people are going to say, it's my season, I'm busy. They're going to say, I can't, I have to do this now. You know, the first thing people do when business gets bad, what happened? You don't come to the shul anymore. No, I got to go work early. Business not so good. The trick is to increase your learning if you want your business to get good. That's the test. What all that sends a problem to see how you're going to react. And if a person reacts by saying, ah, I know how to beat the system, I won't learn, I'll go to work earlier, I'll accomplish more, I'll get a jump on my day, I'll answer my emails before the workers come in, I'll have better grip on my business. Wrong. Since in the cloud there are people who do fall prey to that, since the Yetzer, a Yetzer law has a chance of success, Yaakov has two names. Yaakov when they're down, Akev, the heel of the foot, and Yisrael, Sarita, Elokim, you were fighting with God, you beat them. And there's a remnant to this. Right before the angel leaves, Vayar ki lo yachol lo, the angel saw he cannot defeat him, so what did he do? He hit him on the hip. The hip. The remez is what? When he saw he couldn't defeat him, lo yachol lo, what's lo? Lamed 30, Vav 6, 36. He can't defeat the 36 masechtot of Shas. He can't defeat the Torah. He says, let me hit him in the hip, maybe I'll get some of the kids. The symbol of the groin is that kids come from there. And Yaakov Avinu, unfortunately, was Soleah. Esau was successful in that. Sometimes, when the children don't have law, when they don't have the shots, he can capture them with internet, he can capture them with movies and television, he can capture them with magazines, he can capture them with sports, he can capture them with all the things that make Bitul Torah in the world, and all the Tum'ah that surrounds us in Malchut Edom. There's another end to law. We know this coming week, we're going to light the Hanukkah, the lights of Hanukkah. The children of Edom were the Greeks and the Romans. And it says in Bereshit, Ta'aretz ha'ita tohu v'avohu v'choshech al p'nei tehom. And over there, each word in the Pasuk is Midrash as one of the Galiot. And Choshech zu Yavan. Darkness is Yavan, is Greece. That was the galut of Hanukkah. And we light
1, then 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, up to 8. Total of 36 lights. If we have the light, then mitzvah, v'torah, or, then we can defeat the philosophy, the culture, the worship of the body of Yavan. You know, Yavan, the Galut entered. But when Edom moved in, the influence of Yavan never went away. Olympics still exist, started in Yavan. Sculpture, Yavan. Philosophy, Yavan. All the things that the world considers enlightenment, our rabbis say, Hoshech, Zu Yavan. Sports, Yavan. Those are the things that destroy Torah. We come and we light, Lo Yachol Lo. If we light 36 lights, we hope to defeat the Hoshech. I saw in a book by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, the problem is, we don't understand that what they call light is darkness. First you have to recognize the darkness. The darkness is the philosophies, the ideas, the activities that are negative to Torah. Torah or. And things that are not the same. The upstairs. Go around the back. Over there. So they say that that's darkness. Problem is we think that the science, the philosophy, the art, the sports is all enlightenment. So if you don't see the darkness, you can't wipe it out. Zuyada. And why did Yosef get put in the back? Because Yosef was the youngest. And the younger the children are, the more impressionable they are. So it wasn't a matter of favoritism. It was a matter of, I have to protect from the damage of Edom. The older ones had a little more training, a little more chinuch, a little more hashpa'ah from the family. But the younger they get, the more dangerous it is. I have to put them in the back. Another fear Yaakov had, by the way. He sees Esav coming to kill him, and he shudders. He's going home, hoping to see his hak. And we know that Esav, when Yaakov ran away, said, Yikrivu yime ebel avi, v'hargat Yaakov achi. He said, when my father died, I have kibudam. I can't kill him while Yitzchak is alive. But now he's coming to kill him, he fears. Perhaps Yitzchak is dead. Because now Esav is coming to kill me. This was his spiritual fear. We have to understand that the Vayishakehu, the kiss that Esav gave to Yaakov, is one of the most destructive kisses in all of history. Because Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. Hatzileni Nami Ad Asini Ad Esav. Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the one who wrote the Sefer Bet Halevi, Beis Halevi, he wrote, Yaakov Avinu Hitzchere Mishnei Devarim. He was afraid of two things. Gam Mipnei Shirichut Damim, he was afraid of death, Im Yirachem Negdo, maybe certain people be killed. The Gam Mipnei Karvut Yitzchere Shel Esav. He was afraid of getting too close to Esav. Im Yichrot Imo Berit Shalom, if he makes a peace treaty with him. Umikevon, since the one who brings a person to sin is much worse than someone who kills the person, he said, Atzileni nami yad achi first. And then he said, Miyad Esav. The pachad from Esav is tafel, subsidiary to the pachad from Achi. You know, I said a little briefly over a story about Chaim Yehuda Sadka, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I want to repeat it so that many people who are not in that small class next door will hear the attitude of Allah Chachamim in our generations about this same subject. And the Hesper Tachan Yudah Sadka, Ham Ovad Yosef Shalit Ali Badel HaChayim, told the story. One day, Ham Yudah Sadka, Rosh Yeshiva Barat Yosef, heard that a Yehudi took his child out of one of the better yeshivot and put him in a school where perhaps the hashkafot would spoil the child. It wasn't really a perhaps, but I want to be nice about it. And the rabbi got very upset. He went to the man and he started a conversation and he started to explain to him the danger and to beg him to make the change. And finally the man broke out crying. And he said, Rabbi, do you think I wanted to take the boy out? He was doing so well. Except my wife. My wife didn't want, my wife wants this. Can I ruin my whole shalom bayit over a subject like this? The rabbi, b'chokhmato, in his wisdom, b'orma lemor, Chas v'chalila. Chas v'shalom. Of course you shouldn't ruin your shalom by it for this. Aval et anot ata chayav. You have to fast. You're required to fast for the fate of your children. You have to sit on the floor like an avil. The man was mitkaber what the rabbi told him. The man accepted what the rabbi told him. And he started to fast. And after a few days of watching it, his wife couldn't take it. And his wife said, okay, put them back. You know, Pelioet said, Ma'amu'ot tariq lazi gedolim ala kitanim. How much we have to warn the elders about the children. Ki arbe yiladot oseh Chaverim ra'im osim yaldut. It meant much childishness that children behave, and bad children make bad impressions. Who mar'eh tara'a yotim yot zolim disorim. They end up to be like ben sorer umore. Lo aleinu. Al ken tzarich lefkach einayim aleihem. You have to keep your eyes on the children. Ul olam yazir epanav. You have to be careful and warn your children. What's asur, what's mutar, what's right, what's wrong? And to keep them away from bad groups, bad association, so that they'll end up going in the ways of good people. It says, the word kerubim, in two different places in the Torah. When Hashem expelled Adam HaRishon from the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, it says he put Kiruvim to guard the door so nobody gets back in from the human race. Over there, the word Kiruvim is translated by Rashi, Malachei Harara, destructive demons. By the Kiruvim in the Mishkan, those cherubs that were a golden piece of artwork above the Aron, the cabinet that contained the Luchot of the Torah, the tablets of the Torah that Moshe brought down from Har Sinai, over there, Rashi says, Demut Parsu Tinok Ayalaim, they had the pure face of an infant. Why would Rashi explain in one place Kiruvim, angels of destruction and demons, and the same word be translated as the innocent face of a cherub, of a nice child, Timok? The Gaon of Moshe, Mordechai Epstein, Zecher, Tzadik Levacha, who was a Rosh Yeshiva, Keres Yisrael Slabodka, said, En Zot Ele Shebal Moz, it's coming in a hinting way to teach us. When we give a child the proper education, it can be a cherub.
המסוחח בכנפיו לארון הקודש. He could have his wings spread over the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark.
Ve'ilu kishe'en mechanechim oto chinuch torati. When you don't give the proper Torah education, kashem achikim oto me'on mo'ed me'aron HaBerit, the further he gets from the place where the Torah is kept, aluhu ligdol pereh,
he can turn out to be a wild one,
ulhefech le'malach habala, into a destructive demon. Do I have to outline? You know, when Yaakov Avinu blessed the children, he said, you know what I want? I want everybody to say that the children should be ke'eslayim chidin asher. And if you open your siddur on Friday night when the father blesses the children, he says that they should be like Ephraim and asher.
True. We have tribes. Why shouldn't they be like Yehuda? Why shouldn't they be like Levi? Why shouldn't they be like Issachar or Yosef? Why Davka Ephraim Menasheh? The answer brought in all the books is that Yaakov Avinu was saying, look, Yosef brought up children in Galut, in the land of Tum'ah, in Mitzrayim, a land of impurity, and he raised such fine children. You hear that song? That my children and great children and great grandchildren and great 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 and all those children brought up in Galut should be like Ephraim and Menasheh. But for that to happen, to have to be brought up on Berkei Yosef, to have to be brought up on the lap of their father and the way of their father.
Panovich Rav asked the question. You know, in the Pigeon HaBen, the father is asked certain questions by the Kohen. Is this your firstborn? Is it Pekarechem? But he asked a very question. I've been to Kohen, I had the Zechut a couple of times. He even feels silly asking it. Would you rather have the 5 silver coins, or would you rather have your son? What kind of question is that? Would you rather have your son, this baby, this beautiful baby, your firstborn, Bechor, Peterechem, what's more exciting? Would you rather have 5 silver coins? Quinn asked. The father better get the answer right. Or the Pigeon is off. And the baby belongs to the Kohen. So the Panovich Rav said, what kind of question is that? Like I always say, the best questions are either asked by 4-year-old children or Gedolim. He said as follows. My bayit tafeh, what do you want more? What is your ideal in life? The children, the continuation of Dorot Afi Torah, Morasha Kehilat Yaakov, or maybe you want the money? Maybe you want the status? Maybe you want the gashmiut? So while the baby is in front of you, the Kohen asks, what's your priority? Now that you have your first child, what's your priority? The answer is obvious what it should be. There was a woman who went in to the Gaon of Yechezkel Abramsky, Gadol HaDor in World War II, who lived in London. Tamid Chacham, young Tamid Chacham came to him. And he said he was talking and learning Ben Sorer Moreh. Let's understand it. Very difficult parasha about the wayward son that the parents bring to the court to be killed. And Rav Abramsky said, I want to tell you a story about Ben Sorer Moreh. One day, a woman came into me in tears. And she said, Rabbi, please pray for me. Pray for me that my son will die. That's what she said. A mother. The rabbi said, I trembled when I heard such a thing. And then she explained, I have only one child. And he's been drafted into the Russian army. And I know, with the traps, with the pressure, with the long term of service, he's probably going to fall in Ruchaniyut. He may lose everything and become Tameh. Tov Shiyamud Zakai. I prefer him to die as a pure Jew than to live as a Mumar, as a heretic. The rabbi talked to her. He tried to calm her down. He found out that she was older than he thought. She probably wasn't going to have any other children. And still, her priority was, if he's not going to be good, the rabbi said, I have a suggestion. Let's pray. But let's not pray that he dies. Let's pray that he passes the test. Let's pray that he has the strength from the chinuch he got in your house to withstand the pressure. Bikachaya. And so it was. The tears and the prayers of the mother cracked through the heavens. And the boy lives as a Jew. Rabbi Abramsky told this young Talmid Chacham, by the way, I could picture that parasha with the mother and father dragging the boy to Beit Din. That's such a love they had. Yamud Zakar Arimut. Chayav. Need I say more about us? Are we on track? Are we paying for things next of the child? Are we paying for higher speeds to bring that garbage in the house? Are we paying for entertainment and vacations that kill the chinuch they get the other 9 months of the year? Are we taking them to places after school and on Sunday and on days off which are negative to Da'at Torah? Do we make it seem okay? Maybe that's the school, but in real life you can do this. Is there stira in our way of living? Is there contradiction in the way we live? So that they feel when I grow up, I won't have to do this anymore. Are we worried about ha'iladim rakim? About the gentle, pure children that Hashem entrusted to us? Like Yaakov Avinu was. That's one of the tests we have. And I hope we succeed in passing that test. And that explains all the 12 questions that we asked. Two other subjects quickly. I can do it quickly. Ko amar Rabbicha Yaakov mevagadi v'acharel atar yishor v'chamos v'chel v'shifa. Thank you. Garti tariag mitzvot shamadi. We said before, the word I lived, I sojourned, is the same as 613 mitzvot. So he tells Esav, I kept the 613 mitzvot. And the question is, so what would be the answer of Esav? Does it matter to him? He was angry that you stole my bechora. Do I care if you kept mitzvot? But is that going to calm him down now? And then he tells him, I'm a multi-millionaire. I have all kinds of cattle and sheep. And I'm sending you a gift. If he thinks I trade Olam Abba for Olam Azeh, what are you telling me you have so much? Is the fact that you're a millionaire going to calm me down? It's a question of Emunah, my friends. He wanted to teach him a lesson, a very important lesson. Haramban, Parashat Bo, we read these words almost every year in this class. She'en Adam Chelek B'Torat Moshe Rabbeinu. A person is not considered one who believes in the Torah. Until we believe in all our matters, secular, religious, anything. And everything that happens to us. Shekulam nisim, everything is a miracle. There's nothing called natural and cause and effect. Ben barabim, ben miyachim, when you're talking about politics worldwide, you're talking about individual events.
And in Yaseh HaMitzvah, Yatzirchen Osecharo. If a person does a mitzvah, a reward is somewhere for him. And the opposite, Lo Aleinu. And says the Ramban, HaKol BeGezerat Elyon. Everything takes place because at that moment, that's what Hashem wants. And in the next week's parasha, when Yosef goes walking, looking for his brothers, Hayin Sayenu Ish Vineto Ebasadeh, a man finds him and he's lost in the field looking for his brother. Says the Ramban, Lohodi Enu Od, to tell us again, Ki Agizera Emet Aharitzu Cheker. The only Emet is what Hashem wants. So we see Emuna. The Gizera is Emet. Nothing happens, good or what we consider bad, except what Hashem wants to happen. Look at Yaakov with Laban. Yaakov sees Laban as a crook. He's got a worldwide reputation. Z-C-R-O-O-K with capital letters. Crook Incorporated. He tells Rachel when he first meets her, he says, Racheli, don't worry about your father harming me. I know his color. I'm Achiv. I'm his brother. I'm smarter and I'm able to be a crook like him. He knew he was a Rabbi. And so what does he do? He gives her simanim, special signs. I know he's going to trick me, I want to marry you. He's going to try and give me Leah. He tells her, I want to marry your daughter, Bitzicha, Rahel, Hakitana. He tells her everything, detail after detail. So he can't be a Rabbi. And Laban realizes it. He tells him, Ahatmiu Sariata. I see, says Rashi, you're as sharp as me. Of course you're not going to work for me for nothing. What do you want? But what happened? With all that Yaakov did, he ends up marrying Leah. Why? Gezerat emet. Hagezerat emet. What Hashem wants will be. If there's no children from Leah, there's no Am Yisrael. If Leah doesn't marry first, there's no Am Yisrael. That's what Hashem wants. What the emet gezerat elyon? What's going to be what Hashem wants? Can you take precautions? No. Not only that, look from the Levan side. He didn't want to pay Yaakov. I said it, Monim, hundreds of times he changed the deal. Every time the deal worked out in favor of Yaakov, Laban, you want the striped ones, you want the dotted ones, you want the white ones, you want the black ones, whatever he wants, that year's crop of sheep came out like Yaakov, he changed the deal again. Whatever he did, he wanted to prevent Yaakov from becoming rich, he left a multi-millionaire. Why? Hagezerah emet. What Hashem wants will be. Yaakov could not prevent Laban from pulling the switch, and Laban could not prevent Yaakov from becoming rich. They were both very sharp. The sharpest people of their time. Achi atah b'ram ma'ut. You're my brother in crookedness. You're so sharp, he told them. Did either one get what they wanted? Says Yaakov to Esav, Im lavangati vayharata vayilishor vahamot. I lived with him and I had no control. He lived with me and he couldn't stop me. Right now, you think you can do what you want? Borei Olam is in charge. And he promised me shmarticha v'chol asher telech. That's called emunah. It's a story I think I told recently, but I'll tell it again because it fits right here perfectly. In the city of Brisk, there was a fire. And after the fire was put out, a guy came in front of a whole crowd of people to tell his story, how great he was, how cool he was. The fire in those days, Brisk, with a lot of wooden houses and buildings very close together, and as you know, in those towns, they had a bucket brigade to put out a fire. And once the street got on fire, until there was a space somewhere,
probably the whole street will go. So a fire starts out on the corner, and this man has a warehouse full of merchandise, no insurance, his whole life is in that warehouse. And somebody comes to him when the fire broke out on the corner and says, I'll give you 50% for your inventory. And he says, no, nothing's going to happen. After the first three houses on the block burnt, the guy came back and said, you see what's happening? It's fast and furious. It's out of control. I'll give you 30% for your inventory. The guy said, no way. When the door of his warehouse was on fire, the guy said, you're lucky if I give you 10%, but I'm still willing. The guy said, no way. And miraculously, that's where they put out the fire and his inventory was saved. So he went in front of a lot of people to tell the story of his genius, how he didn't sell his inventory at a discount. And the Gaon, the Bichayim Soloveitchik, he was there, and he told the man, Mister, atah ratzita lesaper godel chokhmatcha, you wanted to say how smart you were. Be'emet de lehepech, it's the opposite of what you think. You proved how stupid you are. According to logic and judgment and good sense, there was no way your inventory is going to be saved. And you should have taken the 50. And if you didn't take the 50, you should have taken the 30. And even in spite of the fact you turned down the first two offers, you definitely should have taken the last offer. However, you did teach us a different lesson of Chaim Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, told him. You proved that even a person is a total idiot. If Hashem says you're going to have the money, you'll still have the money. Emuna. Everything is Gezerat Elyon. That's what we learn from this story. A little bit more on that, but I want to get in one other subject before we leave, briefly. Spoke about this a little last night. Wish I had more time for it then, wish I had more time for it now. It's a very important lesson. When the daughter of Yaakov was abducted, Dinah, by Shechem Ben Hamor, Bissar Hamor, Bissaram. It's all about the Egyptians really, but I picked on Arar Achra already once. It says that Yaakov, we could learn another lesson about patience here. He heard this horrible news that his daughter is abducted and violated by a goy, and instead of reacting, he holds back. We see from there that a man should have patience in the time of danger to handle things the right way. And his sons come home. They hear the story. And they decide to take action. And they go and negotiate with the goyim. The son. The children of Yaakov are Shimon and Levi, and yet it calls them their sons. Like, what does it mean, like other people? Like they're not his sons. They didn't ask their father's advice. Seems to be that they should have asked their father, what should we do? Not only because he was their father, but because he was the Zaken of the door. He was the wise man of the generation. In the Midrash it says, Ematai Yisrael Omdin, when is it that Israel stands? Kishi Yeshem Zikenim, when they have elders.
שכל מי שנותן לצער וזקנים אינו נחשב. A person who takes advice from the zekenim doesn't fall.
Amar B'Yakiva said, Nimshu Yisrael off. The Jewish people are compared to birds. Just like a bird can't live without its wings because it can't fly, so too Israel cannot live without its chachamim.
Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichot Musa says, we see when somebody is more halacha b'fnei rabo, gives over halacha while their rabbi is available. The punishment is hayad mita. Punishment is death. Which is very hamur. Guy asks, you know, well, what's the halacha with this CT? He says, no, that's how it was. Because the rabbi was there, it's hayad mita.
It seems to be, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That's not the punishment because of the kavod of the individual. The rabbi was being insulted that his student spoke up instead of him. Instead, the answer is, he's nullifying the importance and the greatness of the Morei Halacha of Israel, the Zaken, the wise man. Because whenever the young can talk up in the face of the elders, it's an insult to the elders. When everybody has their own opinion, we lose the power of the zikini.
Harav shemohel al kibodo ein kibodo machon.
A rabbi wants to forgive in such a situation, he's not allowed to. Why? Is it so serious? Because kiyum kelal Yisrael depends on the koach of the Torah. We're not talking about individuals here. We're talking about the national existence of Am Yisrael.
The Me'iri says, a person has to ask advice for everything.
A person may take advice and succeed in a certain matter.
The Yachshov, he might wrongly believe, Shim Yaseo Atah, I repeat my behavior again, Gam Ken Yatzliach, says the Me'iri, one of the Rishonim, the Yechetza Bazeh Lefamim.
It's a sin sometimes.
Because times are not the same and you always have to ask.
Lachem says Me'iri, Tzarich Adam Nitya'et Tamidim Azikinim.
You have to ask the elders. Asher Avru Alehem Nishinot Ayamim, they have experience. They've been in other situations before tests.
Bishishim Chokmah. In the elders, there is wisdom.
Tell you stories. Got a lot of them. First of all, how does it work?
The wise man is not wise from his own da'at. The wise man is wise because ein etzah ve'ein tushiyah le'Torah. The only place to find the answer is in the Torah.
Said Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikam Damo, was killed in the Holocaust.
Mipeneshi Haitza Yechidalu Ma Yisraelit. The only advisor we have is the Torah.
Bechen Yisrael Befrat, as a nation, as individuals.
Bechol HaShelot, on all matters.
En Adam Yodeh Ze Matara Tova Bishvilo.
A person doesn't know what's good for him.
What path will bring him to a successful conclusion?
Rak haTorah, just the Torah.
He shiti yaseehu etzal echunav tucham atol lefanam.
Only the Torah can tell you what's right.
We have to find it and understand it.
So Rav Chaim Volozhin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes in Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avot.
since the Torah has the power to be a Sabbat Tushiya, Kach Gam Me'oto Tamit Nacham Sheidbak Ba Ne'enim Mimeno a Sabbat Tushiya. We get the power from the person who's Hogerba Kol Hayom, the person who spends all his time and thought and effort in Torah, Davuf Ba, attached to it. V'nitlabash midoteh, and he dresses himself in midot of the Torah. The same way Torah is a source of advice, that person becomes a source of advice. We see the power of a Gadol Hador or Tamid Chacham. They have a special eye called Da'at Torah. And we have a requirement to ask. Tell you a story about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was a Gadol Hador, middle of the last century. 40s, 30s and 40s in Bnei Brak, Eretz Yisrael. Man went to the Chazon Ish and he asked for a beracha. He knew a woman that was sick. She had no children. And she lived in Paris. And the doctors in Paris told her to undergo a very serious, dangerous operation. And maybe they'd be able to save her life and enable her to have children. Said the man, I brought to you her name and request for advice. The rabbi sat, he listened, and after a couple of minutes he took the paper from the man with the lady's name on it, and then he said, don't do the operation. And she will have children. And I want you to do something. Go to this sofer in Yerushalayim, and he gave the name, and buy from him 10 mezuzot, kesherim lamhaderim, of the best quality he has, and change her mezuzot and put these mezuzot on the door in its place. The rabbi who told over the story said, he did what the rabbi said. He went, he bought 10 mezuzot, and he said what the rabbi said would happen, happened. She recovered, and she had children. And he said what amazed him most was in her house, she had exactly 10 mezuzot to be replaced. How did he know? Torah. Another story. Rav Yudah Kohen Shalita Rosh Hashivat Yakirei Yerushalayim. We had the Zechut to have in our community last month, he was here. About 14 or 15 years ago, on one of his regular trips in support of the yeshiva, he was a guest, as he always is, in the house of our good friend, the Mohel, Rabbi Shemula on Ocean Parkway. I got a call from Rabbi Shemula, panicking. It was early evening, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock. The rabbi's on the floor, writhing in pain. I don't know what's the matter. I told him, call Hatzalah, I'll be right over. I rushed from my house to his house. It wasn't too far. And Hatzalah had arrived, and the rabbi was on the floor. The pain looked unbearable. And Hatzalah people said, we don't know what to do, but we know he needs a hospital. We got in touch with Dr. Madelon and said, could you take care of him in NYU? Of course, the rule is they couldn't drive to NYU, but somehow they agreed. I went to Manhattan to NYU, where they were prepared to receive us in emergency with the instructions of Dr. Madelon. They examined and found out that he had a hole in his intestines, and rather than the poisons that leave the body going out of the body, the secretions were going back into the body, and the poisons were life-threatening.
He needed an immediate operation. So I told the rabbi he needed an immediate operation and he had to sign the consent. And he said, I will not sign. The doctor, not knowing what to do, said, you got to get him to sign. There's not much time. I said, get Dr. Madelon on the phone. I got Dr. Madelon on the phone. Called back. Talking to him. I said, doctor, you got to tell me what's going on exactly so I can explain to the rabbi, because whatever this doctor is telling us is not enough to convince him. He talked to the doctor. He got the instructions. Told me, Raymond, tell the rabbi in no uncertain terms that if he doesn't agree to operate, his children will be saying Kaddish by morning. I told the rabbi that the man who told me was Ish Dati, the Shamayim, a very big doctor in that same hospital from our community. You must listen to him. The rabbi said, I won't sign. By the way, Dr. Madelon told me if he doesn't sign shortly, we'll give him another half hour. We're going to bring a psychiatrist to commit him as insane. I'm going to do the operation anyhow. For his own good. So I told him, we're going to do that anyhow. He says, no, I won't sign. We tried everything. I said, Rabbi, what's the matter with you? We were fortunate to get you here to this hospital with these doctors. We found the problem. This is the answer. He says, I won't do it until I speak to Chaim Ben Tzion of Bashov. So now I know he's hallucinating. We're in New York, Chaim Ben Tzion of Bashov is in Yerushalayim. You want to speak to him? I said, Rabbi, how am I supposed to get Chaim Ben Tzion of Bashov? He says, it's Tuesday morning in Yerushalayim. It's 9 o'clock. He's in such and such a hospital. You know, he had a stroke. He has therapy every Tuesday morning at this time. Okay? Make a long story short, a lot of time was spent finding and getting through to Chaim Ben Tzion, but we did it. We even got cut off once and had to call back. It was a long story of several hours. Everyone tension packed because the clock was ticking and the poisons were seeping into the rabbi's body. But when we finally got Chaim Ben Tzion, Alav HaShalom, Zecher Tzadik, the Kadosh, the Bracha, we wheeled out the rabbi's bed to the payphone in the hallway. And he got on the phone and he could hardly speak and he whispered lowly into the phone. The phone call was no more than a minute or two. He hung up the phone. I looked at the rabbi. I said, no. He said, give me the paper. I'll sign. He signed the paper. The operation was a success, Baruch Hashem. Like I said, he was here last month. But I didn't tell you the story to tell you the story just to keep you on the edge of your seat. Because a week later when he was back home, in Rabbi Shmuel's house on Ocean Parkway, I went to visit him. And a calm moment, I said to him, Rabbi, explain one thing to me. We lost 4 hours trying to find Chacham Ben Tzion. Do you think, in the wildest stretch of your imagination, that Chacham Ben Tzion in Yerushalayim would overrule the ruling of doctors here in New York with tests that prove you need an immediate operation to save your life? And his newborn life, healthy little smile, he said, of course not. I said, Rabbi, so why did you put us all through what we went through till we reached Chaim Ben Tzion? And why did you risk the danger? He said, simple. If I do the operation, it could be successful, or lo alena, it could be low successful. But if I ask Chaim Ben Tzion, my rabbi, and he tells me to do it, I know it will be successful. You gotta ask. We're a community of very successful people. We make many decisions every day in our personal lives. We make many decisions that involve halakha in our business lives. We make many decisions as to what to do with our children and our spouses. We have decisions made all day long. Many of us work for major organizations of chesed, charity, chinuch, education in our community. Do we ask? We have a handful of zikinim. We know who they are. We have many rabbis. We have many teachers. We have many people in Yirei Shamayim.
But we have very few people that their life was davuk b'torah, v'agu bo yomam b'layla, that their life was attached to Torah every second. And they learned it day and night for 10, 20, and 30 years before they came to serve community. And they aged with the community, had experience of the community. And so they became the zekenim, the elders, and the zekenim means zekana chokma. Zaken doesn't mean old. Seva means old. Zaken, the Gemara is, he acquired wisdom. Do we ask? Do we ask? When my son finished high school, he was going to learn Eretz Yisrael for a year. And I took him to my rabbi, Chacham Baruch, and Chaim Shalit, Hashem should give him long life and good health and Rifuah Shelema. I said, Rabbi, my son's going to learn for a year. Can you give him a beracha? So after a few words of social talk, an interest in his future, the rabbi said, come. My son put his head down. The rabbi put his hand on his head. And he said, Yehira son, you should be like your father. Amen. And my son waited for the rest of the beracha. But that was it. So he got up nervously and looked at the rabbi, and the rabbi looked at him, and the chacham said, do you understand the beracha? And he said, well, rabbi, I know my father does this and my father does that, and you know, I guess you want me when I grow up to... No, he said, I want you to be like your father now. So I looked at the rabbi, he couldn't answer. The rabbi said, I want you like your father now because your father asked. He calls me at least 20 times a week. He calls me from the office. There's a situation in the office. I have to know what to do, Rabbi. He calls me from a place where he's shopping. Rabbi, there's this situation. Somebody made a mistake. What do I do? Rabbi, I want to go do some kind of mitzvah. I'm not sure exactly the pratim. How should I do it? Rabbi, I have two situations. I don't know which one has priority. What should I do? I only have time to do one. Rabbi, I'm traveling and I'm stuck in a place and I have what do I do? Rabbi, my friend told me this, is it correct or incorrect? Berachot, business, dressing, social, business, organizations. He calls. He asks. If you ask, you'll be successful. You hear that song, you should grow up to be like your father and you'll be successful. That was the rabbi's blessing. Baruch Hashem, my son asks. He calls me at least 20 times a week. Daddy, what's the halacha? Daddy, what should I do? To him, I'm his zaken, I'm his rabbi. Bnei Yaakov, Shimon, v'Levi, hayu banav, but they didn't treat him that way. They went and took action. Was it successful? Yes. Was it successful? No. Because they got the matara, but they didn't ask. And the Torah points out to us, and Rashi brings it to us clearly so we won't miss it. Banav hayu. They were his sons, and he was their rabbi. And they did not, lo lachu etza. They didn't treat him like their rabbi. They didn't treat him like their father. As individuals and as a community, we must learn this lesson. Ask the Zekenim. We're zocheh to have a handful to handle this giant community of ours. But if we want to come up with the right results, ask, ask, ask. As individuals, as community, as committees, as leaders, we must ask Da'at Torah. What does the Torah say we should do? We need Eitzah, we need Tushiya. We need advice and consent to be successful. You hear that song, we have the wisdom to ask. Amen.